Alex.
Over the weekend, there was dueling rallies marking Martin Luther King's I Had a Dream speech. They were very different. We're going to talk about it. The president visited New Orleans on Katrina's anniversary, and he talked about getting the job done, really kind of responding to what's going on in the Gulf crisis, but that overlaps with Katrina as well. The New York City mosque debate spreads across the heartland, the latest on that, and a slew of other things, like Earl strengthening, sadly, and it's threatening North Carolina, so that hurricane turning into rains could be a little bit more than that. It's all about the categories and what happens overnight and how much steam it picks up. Hello, everybody. Kate Delaney's my name. This show is America Tonight. We got a lot of steam going on here. It is the water cooler buzz. That's what this show is all about. And it's the late night highway conversation that we enjoy. And so do many of you, even if you have one eye open. Hopefully you don't have one eye open, though, when you're driving. Perhaps that's why you're laying in bed listening to us. If you want to throw in your 2 cents, pick up the phone and dial this number. When something strikes you, 800-259-5791, 800-259-5791, or you can flip us an email, americatonight.net. Hey, we're getting closer to football season. You might have sat back over the weekend and watched some football. I watched the Dallas Cowboys get throttled by the Houston Texans. The Cowboys looked like a varsity team. The Texans looked like they were ready to roar. Again, it's preseason. Now there's this conversation about an 18-game season next year. I hope they lop off the preseason games. We're going to talk about that during Sports Shorts. And it's also a reminder to many of you that coming up the first week of football, which is after Labor Day, on Thursday, we'll have our Nail the Score. So the computer will pick randomly the game of the week. You call in, just like picking bingo numbers, or lottery numbers is probably a more accurate representation. So let's say, for example, we had the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Minnesota Vikings, and I say the Eagles thumped the Vikings 27-7. And Matt, for example, if he were participating, could say the opposite for the Vikings. Doesn't matter. It's about the actual numbers. If you nail the score, you win massive bragging rights, plus an incredible bunch of loot from the show. The prize pack is so big that I'm going to have to fly Matt to our satellite facility to actually deliver it to you. That's how big it is. So I hope you live in a really cool place if you win so that Matt can have a good time. I think it'll cost a fortune to mail it to you, but I hope somebody wins it. Wouldn't that be terrific? All right, let's start off by talking about Hurricane Katrina and the damage and the aftermath, which now still continues to haunt the people on the Katrina anniversary. We talked about it last week on America Tonight. It was part of the Sunday swirl, which is what I call the political talking heads over the weekend on whatever cable station or channel that you happen to watch, whether it's Fox or CNN or ABC, or maybe you do a whole bunch of different ones, right? So it's 5 years after Katrina. The president is trying to assure Gulf Coast folks that he's not going to abandon anything to do with any of their causes, that he's going to stand, he's going to fight, he's going to be there until the end. He said this at Xavier University, where he was speaking, and talks about the vacant lots, which is what I saw in Louisiana. To me, there was way too many vacant lots for what I was hearing, that, oh, yes, it's really coming around, it's, you know, more people are coming back. I didn't see that at all, except for on Bourbon Street and the French Quarter, which is where, yes, residents will go and have dinner and whatnot, but really it's a tourism place. I saw more displaced people than anything. So here's Obama's take on Hurricane Katrina and the Gulf Coast and what he's promising.
New Orleans could have remained a symbol of destruction and decay, of a storm that came and the inadequate response that followed. Because of you, New Orleans is coming back. The city has become a symbol of resilience and of community. and of the fundamental responsibility that we have to one another. We're going to finish this system by next year so that this city is protected against a 100-year storm. We should not be playing Russian roulette every hurricane season. The work ahead will not be easy, and there will be setbacks. There will be challenges along the way. But thanks to you, thanks to the great people of this great city, New Orleans is blossoming again.
Yeah, as I said, I don't agree. I don't think it's blossoming again. There are some areas where it's gotten better, and there are some people with a lot of money that are trying to help, like the movie star Brad Pitt, and there are some others who have money in Hollywood who are donating money to putting up houses for people who have nothing, who were in the FEMA trailers. But I see anything but hope on the horizon of this city being what it once was. It's a great question for anyone who spent any time in New Orleans. I feel sorry for the people who didn't have a chance to get there when it really flourished. And the good part is when you went and you felt like you were part of the community for that weekend or the 5 days you were there or whatever it was, and then you went home, you heard some great jazz, you saw some incredible history, something you took back, I think, from that city. Growing up nowhere near it and spending a couple of different times in my life there, I thought it was just a place that was unbridled with, I don't know, passion and teeming with a lot of excitement, I guess. And now I see a city that's just cut in half. To me, New Orleans has not gotten back on its feet. Some people have gotten houses, some people have come back to work, but I think part of the problem is, and I said this last week and in my conversations with people in Louisiana, a lot of people didn't come back. So the lack of manpower, the lack of teachers, the lack of people in certain jobs, some of that hurt the city because people found other places to live and decided, okay, now I'm nested in Houston, Texas, or Columbus, Ohio, or Rockford, Illinois, or wherever it might be, and I don't want to go back. Even though the levees they did a good job of rebuilding the levees, which should have been done in the first place, and that was part of the problem for the flooding and the stranded people. We all know that story by now. It was really more about the flooding than the hurricane itself. It was the fact that that didn't hold up and killed so many people and stranded so many other people. So that part, yes, some of that has been taken care of, but there's still a very long way to go. If I were in the predicting business, I would say that this city takes at least another decade to get close to what it was. And I don't know that, not to pound New Orleans, because I know some great people there, but I just don't think it ever truly comes back. And why is that? If people were giving money, if people were helping, if people were on board with this, how is it that we can't rebuild cities like New Orleans or Tennessee? For goodness sake, Tennessee was slammed with floods. They weren't waiting around for people. They just decided they were going to do it on their own. They were going to wait for the government to help them out, that, hey, we got to get going. We got to start doing something here. Maybe that's part of the problem, that there has to be more initiative. Speaking of that, the mayor of the city had a few things to say. Ray Nagin, we've got that coming up when we turn the page.
Can you live with minor aches and pains? Maybe. But oftentimes, those won't-go-away pains become so debilitating that we are not able to do things we used to, like go for a walk, garden, or even button a shirt. Now, restore normal function naturally and give yourself the freedom to move with Recovery Extra Strength. Over-the-counter drugs will stop the pain, but at the expense of your liver. Recovery Extra Strength is the number one solution for pain and inflammation. It contains Nutricol, a unique proprietary blend of green tea and grapes, and is made in Canada under strict Health Canada oversight of natural products. If you suffer from arthritis, bursitis, tendonitis, back, or other aches and pains, use Recovery Extra Strength. Call 866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com. Get free shipping on orders of $50 or more when you use checkout code GCN Radio. Call 1-866-543-3388 or go to RemarkableRecovery.com for Recovery Extra Strength for pain-free mobility.
As many people know, ever since President Nixon took us off the gold standard, the U.S. dollar has been devaluing. What people don't know, however, is how this directly affects your personal finances. Is there a way to prevent your portfolios from losing value? The answer to all of this is gold and silver. They have both maintained their purchasing power for 6,000 years. If you had had $100,000 in cash and $100,000 in gold and silver back in 1913 and kept them both until now, your cash would actually have the buying power of only $4,800, but your gold and silver would have the buying power of $3 million. The answer to protecting your assets is simple. Call me, John Ballman, today at 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Get all your questions answered before your money is worth zero. Call 1-800-686-2237, extension 169. Take action today while we still accept paper dollars for gold. That's 1-800-686-2237, extension 169.
9 years, thousands of clients worldwide, amazing results. And here's more proof of the effectiveness of how Heart and Body Extract supports good circulation and healthy arterial flow.
My name is Crystal. I'm a 45-year-old and live in Houston, Texas. I was diagnosed with having mitral valve prolapse 10 years ago. My cardiologist said surgery and drugs was the only thing he could offer me.
What did Crystal do?
I ordered Heart and Body Extract in August 2006. When I first took my first 15 drops, I embraced the formula and could even feel the goodness of the formula starting to work.
Clean, clear arteries are happy arteries after using Heart and Body Extract. Learn more at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. That's hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305. HB Extract comes with a 100% ironclad money-back guarantee. Details at hbextract.com or call 866-295-5305 for Heart and Body Extract.
And in Mississippi, because people forget about Biloxi and some of the areas there that were just slammed. We had that conversation last week on the air. We were talking to Trey in Kentucky about don't forget about Mississippi and how brutal it is. And absolutely, I think I told the story of a friend that I had whose house just literally was ripped away. And just the foundation was there and nothing else. I think a shoe. They found a shoe or something. And everything else was just completely gone. And the reason they didn't leave, because they were from Mississippi, they had heard the stories before, they had been through the threats of disaster and didn't take it seriously. Not seriously enough that they couldn't weather it. That's what they thought, they could weather it, I guess. So Ray Nagin, who was the mayor of New Orleans when Katrina slammed the city, talked about that hurricane in retrospect.
A mandatory evacuation. I had an 8-hour window, which was not much. It was overnight. I could have done it earlier. Managing expectations and getting people to understand just how hard this would be, I think I could have done a better job of that also.
All right. So he did say I could have done a better job. He could have done a better job. I don't think he did a good job on the evacuation, the empty buses. That was crazy. He talked about the big recovery and what it's going to take.
It's amazing that 5 years later we are where we are. Most of our citizens are back. The Brookings Institute just did a report right as I was leaving that said our economy is better. We have more middle class people. The schools are better. But we still have a tremendous amount of work to do.
Yeah, see, that's what I would say. A tremendous amount of work is still left, even though anybody who is a political person puts the positive spin on it. And, of course, they're trying to drive more traffic. They don't want to drive people away from going to the Gulf Coast area, period, for tourism reasons or whatever. And they don't want to drive people out of the possibility of going there to live. I understand that. But I absolutely did not see that. And from the people that I know that have gone there recently, they say the same thing. Not that nothing was rebuilt, not that things aren't happening, but just not very fast when you think of 5 years. You know that whole thing about it takes a village? How many villages does it take to put that city back to where it was? It's kind of like to use a children's nursery rhyme, Humpty Dumpty, you know, all the king's men and all the king's horses couldn't put Humpty Dumpty back together again. And I don't think it will ever quite get back together. And if it does, it'll be at least a decade. All right, these are fighting words for some who would protect the UN. That's not me. I've seen how things work at the UN as well. The initial idea behind the UN was a good one, but it fell flat on its face, and it is nothing but a politically corrupted institute. There are some that are willing to move mountains and help people, absolutely, but usually the people that aren't really in power at the UN. So check this out. The Arizona Governor, Jan Brewer, is demanding that a reference to the immigration law be removed from a State Department report on human rights, because this is the deal. The United States lists its legal challenge to Arizona's immigration enforcement law on a list of ways the government is protecting human rights. Is that not bogus? Somebody sitting there trying to put a list together. Let's see. Oh, yeah, that law we don't like in Arizona. Let's put that. That's how we're protecting human rights. It's part of a report to the United Nations High Commissioner on Human Rights. So in a letter Friday to the Secretary of State, Brewer said it's downright offensive that a state would be included in the report. We know the law by now, which never kicked in because of the legal challenge, but the law would require cops and other law enforcement types, sheriff, deputies, whatever, to investigate the status of people they suspect are illegal immigrants. Critics say that it's disgusting and bigoted and it's going to target minorities and it's profiling. But the governor and the state legislators who put it in action say that if anything, it prohibits human rights abuses. And I got to go with that. And the reason I do is because if you know what happens at the border, especially with the trafficking thing, and we talked about this last week, this was a different border, but 74 people, oh, you're paying $5,000 to $7,000 each to come across the border. Whoa, 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 we're stopping you because we have the power and we have the arsenal. If you do not turn into basically slaves for us in the drug trade or assassins, then we're going to kill you. So 74 people, women and men, are killed. Just boom, shot down. Doesn't matter that they paid whatever they negotiated for. Whether it was the higher rate or the lower rate, doesn't matter. It wasn't even about that. That is what Brewer's talking about. The rape trees, the dead bodies they found all over the borderline in Arizona where they're in the bodies unidentified are in refrigerator trucks because the morgue is too crowded. So what are they going to do? What decent thing do you do to try to possibly, if you're a customs officer, to try to possibly find the family of the Jane Doe that you found in a remote area near the fence, near a crossing? It's crazy. It's crazy sad is what it is. A buddy of mine who used to be on a radio station in Phoenix, Daryl and Carla, wrote a great book on that. And it talks about what you really don't realize is happening, especially when it comes to human trafficking. So the more porous the borders, the more people that are let in, the more problems we continue to give the people on their journey in the first place in trying to get through the vipers and the snakes and the people who are using them for the dough to get them across the Rio Grande. Jeff is listening to us in St. Louis. Hey, Jeff, how are you?
Pretty good. Just sitting here watching one of those guilty pleasure movies.
Ooh, what guilty pleasure movie?
Time Cop.
I like that movie. It's
good.
I
also like the series. I think it had a good shot.
Yep.
But that only lasted for 9 episodes.
Yeah. But the movie itself was good.
Yeah. But, you know, it's just one of those classic action movies. But I wanted to comment about the UN human rights deal.
Sure.
I wonder if they included the whole Black Panther incident, voting incident in Pennsylvania.
No.
No, they didn't include that? Huh. Voting intimidation, voting violations, and they did not include that?
No.
Oh, I wonder why not. I mean, couldn't that be part of the whole human rights stuff?
Right, because here's the thing. It's eeny, meeny, miny, moe. Ooh, this one plays into what we want the UN to hear and what we're fighting against and what our Justice Department is now pushed however many dollars into this. Absolutely. And the Panther thing, that goes away.
And I want to say he mentioned the rancher that was killed by illegals on the Arizona border.
Yeah. It's awful.
So, and... But the UN, the idea of the UN was good when it first started, but like you said, it became a politically correct bunch of, I'm not going to do anything over the air, so, say anything, SOBs.
Right.
To put it, to be nice about it.
Right.
But it's just not what it used to be anymore.
No. Initially, why it was started, the idea behind it, the outreach could have been good. It had good intentions. There were people with good intentions involved. And then, like everything else, it became politically power motivated, and you had mass corruption to the tune of millions and millions of dollars. So it doesn't carry weight with me.
And the incident you're talking about with the, Islam Muslim Community Center with the equipment that was burnt, is that what you were referring
to? Yes,
yes. You know what's funny? They can do all that stuff to Christians and other groups in their countries, but they can't seem to take it when it's done to them here.
No, because of the backing that's here and because of what's happened in New York with Bloomberg and...
But they do all that stuff to Christians and
Jews right.
and other groups in their in the Middle East and Muslim countries, but when it's done to them here...
You're right. So why do we have, see, that just shows you America. It's like turn the other cheek and wait to get punched in the face. I understand, Jeff, absolutely. Thanks. You have a great week. 800-259-5791. 800-259-5791. We're going to talk more about that mosque that Jeff just brought up on the flip side.
If you're a regular listener of this station, then disaster survival is vitally important to you and your family. Long-term food storage, water filtration, emergency food preparation, and quality survival products are not just talk topics, but a way of life. We strongly believe in being prepared for any emergency. We are foodandwaterstore.com, owned and operated by people who are into emergency preparedness. And because we are preppers like you, we own and use the products we offer. You'll find quality name-brand proven products like Global Sun Ovens, Wonder Mill Flour Mills, Mountain House Foods, Satchel and Berkey water filters, and many more, plus videos and articles at foodandwaterstore.com. 90% of our customers are return customers because of our low prices and excellent customer service. We still believe the customer is always right. Discover what your family needs to weather any storm at foodandwaterstore.com or call 1-877-773-7123. Foodandwaterstore.com, helping you prepare for the storms of life.
On air, online, and on demand.
They say we offer simple answers to complex problems.
We are the GCN Radio Network.
And now for another exciting minute from Life Change Tea. To all our Life Change Tea customers, it's sale time. Buy three, get one free. Buy three packages of Life Change Tea and get one package absolutely free. Now to all of you that have not tried Life Change Tea, Here's your chance. Buy three, get one free. Clean toxins and chemicals inside your body. Lose inches off your waist, and you could lose that excess weight that's been driving you crazy. And with our buy three, get one free sale, it's a great time to order. So here's how. Log on to GetTheTea.com. That's GetTheTea.com. Look for our special, or you can call us at 928-308-0408. That's 928-308-0408. It feels good to be clean, and it feels good to lose weight, and it really feels good to save money. So order now at GetTheTea.com.
When you hear the words water purification, what comes to mind? If it's Berkey Water Purification Systems, this message is for you. Did you know that over 60% of municipal water contains fluoride at less than 2 cents per gallon? Berkey water filters purify treated and untreated water, remove dangerous chlorine, fluoride, and contaminants from municipal water. These filters are powerful enough to purify stagnant pond water, making them perfect for rainwater collection systems. From the smallest to the largest systems, BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com has what you need. With your system purchase, you'll receive a shower filter, a fluoride filter, or two sport Berkey bottles absolutely free. BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com would like to offer GCN listeners 5% off all ceramic filter systems and ship all orders over $50 free of charge. Visit BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. That's BigBerkeyWaterFilters.com. Or call 1-877-99-BERKEY. That's 1-877-99-BERKEY today.
The food storage industry leader has done it again.
Introducing FDG Clubs and Survival Bucks from the Freeze Dry Guy. For over 39 years, the Freeze Dry Guy has served various government agencies and the private sector with the finest in storable foods and emergency rations. If you've wanted to build emergency food supplies but couldn't afford it,
now you can.
Go to freezedryguy.com, click on products, and look for the Freeze Dry Guy Clubs to pay as you go.
Now you can build food storage without going into debt.
Choose from a payment range of $95 to $450 per month.
Our clubs work with everyone's budget.
Plus, when you join Freeze Dry Guy Clubs, you'll get additional rewards. For example, this month, get 10% back in survival bucks on all purchases in the Freeze Dry Guy product line, plus free shipping within the lower 48 states on any order amount. Hurry, go to freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. That's freezedryguy.com or call 866-404-3663. The Freeze Dry Guy, the best you can buy.
But sober people don't know what it's about.
Speaking of the good book from the files of, oh, that clears that one up. Jeremiah Wright steps out of the shadows, although he never really completely was in the shadows. The Reverend did one of his fiery sermons on Sunday at the New Millennium Church in Little Rock that criticized supporters of the Iraq War, but he also defended the pastor of the church for speaking out against the war. That was part of the reason for his visit. He did reference Obama once when he compared what's going on with the pastor, who's a former Arkansas Court of Appeals judge, Wendell Griffin. He compared Griffin's opponents to those who incorrectly think our president is Muslim, that the president is Christian. Wright says that the people who wrongly believe Obama is a Muslim are psychopaths. And he says the enemy will surround you with psychopaths who will criticize you and say you ain't really a Baptist and say the president ain't really a Christian. He's a Muslim. You know what? There is nothing that I would agree with that comes out of the mouth of Jeremiah Wright, because I think he's a pot stirrer instead of somebody who bridges whatever gap there is, right, all the years that he's had a pretty powerful pulpit, a big church. But he has a point that we've talked about before. He just said it the wrong way. The whole Muslim thing in Obama, it just shows you that people just associate, I think, Obama because of the Cairo speech or because of just the different things that have come out or the photograph on the New Yorker magazine and not reading the article or whatever. But clearly what Obama, for my money, is guilty of is sitting for all those years listening to the nonsense that Jeremiah Wright spewed out in his sermons. So sitting in that church and listening decade after decade, what was, you know, what was he pouring out that was positive, that was positive in race relations or positive in a worldly way? As not to say that every single sermon he said was negative, but he's the swizzle stick guy. So that's what Obama's guilty of, is not finding a better church, not finding a preacher who could still be fire and brimstone, but was more about uniting, I think. And clearly, he is right. That's the only thing ever that I would see myself siding with the Reverend on, is that there is no way that the president is a Muslim because of the Christian background he does have. And he's come out and he said, look, he says he doesn't even care. He doesn't care about a poll that showed that one-fifth of Americans think he's a Muslim. He says the facts are the facts. He did an interview over the weekend on the nightly news, and he blamed the confusion over his religious beliefs on a network of misinformation, saying that he wouldn't get much done if he spent all his time chasing after rumors that hang around, like the one about not being born in the United States. He says he can't go around, and this is a quote, with his birth certificate plastered on his forehead, and he says he has faith that the American people can get beyond all of the nonsense. See, but what's funny is usually they're right in the thick of it, the people around him, on whatever the controversy of the day is, whatever it is, you know, concerning the president. But the Muslim rumors, I think he's right about the misinformation. The misinformation is because of the sympathetic, I guess, approach of Obama and the White House. That's what it is. Because whether you're talking about the speech in Cairo or whether you're talking about how the TSA is handling how they interrogate people and what they're, that they're being read charges and what they're being charged with, terrorism versus something else. If you're talking about Guantanamo, absolutely. And you mix it all up in a blunder and it is a blunder and it is a blunder. And that's the problem. Now, this New York City mosque debate, it's interesting in watching this and watching what's happening here in the daily headlines all over the place. If you know anything about blogs, you can just go to any blog, pick any blog out of the sky that happens to do with politics, and I can list them on my website, which maybe that's what I'll do. Check them out, and you can see for yourself. This is what the buzz is. This is the water cooler buzz still, even if it's too much, too often, whatever. People are still talking about it. What will we remember the summer for when we talk about politics? Will it be the politics of the oil spill? Will it be the politics of this Islamic center and whether or not it's going to go up near the World Trade Center and what's happening? And a lot of it will be about this Islamic center. So there are, and I checked this again, this number, there are 2,300 mosques in the United States. Now, more controversy is kicking up over some mosques in some other areas, like Tennessee, for one. And I'm blaming some of that on what now has happened in New York. And to me, what has to happen, there has to be people that speak out. There has to be Muslim people, I think, that speak out on the extremists, against the extremist side then. I think you need some kind of a buffer there. That's what you need. it's, and this idea that it's just all bigotry all the time and this is wrong and the mayor is right that to support this project and there are so many heroes in the Muslim community and people don't really understand what the Quran is all about and, you know, do American Muslims, how many American Muslims are sympathetic to the cause of the extremists? They're not. But see, that's the problem. Inevitably, just like anybody else who's come to this country, just like anybody else that's has had to accept some of the questions about their religion, I don't understand the thing that could change the ball game is why aren't there more American Muslim leaders who step forward and talk about, listen, don't lump us into with the terrorists. Here's the interpretation of the Quran. This is what the people are talking about. This is what we're talking about in worshiping. Come and see. These doors are open. Whatever. And that, and if you're going to champion religious tolerance in that question, then you have to go to the accomplishment list. Here's what we're doing in whatever. 1,000 Islamic centers that we have up. Why not? Other churches boast, they will tell you, hey, we saved XYZ. We're so proud of our congregation because they raised so X amount of money to help the people in Tennessee, to help the people in New Orleans, to help the people wherever. So this is what's, I think, missing in a lot of this. And then you have this Abdul Rauf, the imam, at the center of this, who is not, you know, what he's not doing anything to shed some of the previous conversations that he's had. The idea that, ooh, what does he stand for? I don't understand why that's such a big deal. It's, I would compare it in a different way to what Catholics have had to weather because of the priest situation. The disgrace of the priest, the embarrassment of the Catholic Church, of how that was perpetrated and could have been stopped and wasn't, and how awful that is, and the black eye that was on the Catholic religion that is rampant in the United States, and other religions, frankly, Mormons. Mormons who had to weather the whole polygamy thing, and how have mainstream, I'll call the mainstream, for lack of a better way to describe it, to make it make sense, Mormons handled it. What have they done to shed the idea of, hey, we're not a bunch of polygamists here. This is what we believe in. This is what we're following. And it has nothing to do with something that happened a long time ago. And even crazy sects that have emerged don't link us to the crazy sects and misunderstand our religion. So that's the problem. The plan is so misguided and off the tracks because of the September 11 attacks, the wounds, and the misunderstanding about Islam is clearly out there, and we see it. And then you see, okay, if the mosque ultimately is where the process starts for the rogue American extremists or others who are lying in wait, well, what do you want? It is a symbol of that. And so how do you change that image? How do you get people compelled to understand and to have a discussion that makes sense instead of making it turn ugly? And that's the reason. That it's because nobody, I think not enough people of the Muslim faith are doing that. I don't think they're doing it. Maybe I'm seeing this wrong. Somebody get me a new pair of glasses, or tell me I need a new pair of glasses if I am. 800-259-5791, or shoot me your thoughts at americatonight.net. americatonight.net. I mean, it's a difficult task, there's no doubt about it. But you cannot put an Islamic center 2 blocks from ground zero. I don't understand. I cannot imagine why you have to have Part 51 go up. Why can't it be in another part of the city? Come on. All right, coming up, we're going to lighten the load, do a little sports shorts for you. Michelle Wee, how did she fare today? Remember that name from the past? A couple of other thoughts, too. Stay with us.
So you've got your emergency food, water, guns, and ammo, right? What about your paperwork? Your medical and insurance records, legal documents, emergency plans? Keeping and knowing where those vital papers are can really prepare you. That's why you need Prepared Binder, an emergency binder designed to keep all your important documents in one safe place. See Prepared Binder at PreparedBinder.com or call 480-284-1826. Prepared Binder, organized peace of mind.
In a coming-apart world, you need something to keep it tied together. That something is Atwood Rope, the highest quality rope made in the USA from exotic braids for military, rescue, arborists, boating, towline, shipyard, or decoration. Quality rope at affordable prices you and your customers can depend on. Find a dealer or shop online at atwoodrope.net. Enter promo code RADIO to receive a free 100 feet of 550 paracord. Atwood Rope, working to keep the world tied together.
I'm concerned about food for my family in the event of an emergency, and I know you are too. Are you ready? Don't wait for an emergency to happen. Put a plan together now with quality dehydrated food from Ready Reserve Foods. For nearly 40 years, Ready Reserve Foods has been in continuous operation, canning the finest in dehydrated foods. Other companies just broker canned foods. Ready Reserve is the manufacturer, controlling quality from start to finish with double enameled cans and nitrogen packing for maximum shelf life. Ready Reserve offers a balanced selection of fruits, vegetables, dairy products, proteins, and grains. Choose from a variety of pre-selected units or order by individual can to customize your own plan. When you purchase from Ready Reserve Foods, you are buying factory direct at wholesale prices. Call today for a free catalog, 1-800-453-2202, or visit ReadyReserveFoods.com. Call 1-800-453-2202. Ready Reserve Foods. Factory direct, wholesale pricing.
If you're in a service business, that's money ringing in your ears. If your phone's not ringing, chances are it's a problem with your marketing. Landscapers, painters, roofers, carpet cleaners, pet sitters, handymen. Anyone with a residential service business can build a huge and loyal customer base fast with the Magic Yellow Flyer. No more expensive newspaper, yellow pages, or internet pay-per-click ads. The Magic Yellow Flyer will have new customers calling you within 1 week. The Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system is the most effective and inexpensive way to build a referral-only service business in a short period of time. And the Magic Yellow Flyer comes with an outrageous 1 year guarantee. You will get new customers or your money back. For details, go to magicyellowflyer.com. No matter what business you're in, the Magic Yellow Flyer marketing system will work for you. Visit magicyellowflyer.com. Put the Magic Yellow Flyer to work for you today. Visit magicyellowflyer.com.
How lucky can one guy be? I kissed her and she kissed me. Like the fella once said, ain't that a kick in the head? The room was completely black. I hugged her and she hugged back. Like the sailor said, quote, ain't that a hole in the boat? My head keeps spinning. I go to sleep and keep grinning. If this is just the beginning, my life is gonna be beautiful. I've sunshine enough to spread. It's just like that.
I'll tell you, that kick in the head is a good reference to athletes who come off of a competitive round of golf after going through the four rounds at a tournament, or guys who come off the gridiron even worse when they've been banged up and they emerge with a win, whether it's in the waning seconds of a game or not. The worst thing to do is be on the losing side of that, because that's part of sports, certainly losing. But, oh, it's hard to take, as I've interviewed so many athletes and seen the ups and the downs, the way things ebb and flow. And it's rough, let me tell you. All right, speaking of rough, we're going to talk about what happened in the Little League World Series and how a foreign country ended the U.S. five-year reign on the trophy. Boo. But, hey, well played. And also, now if we turn to the Lynx, a name that you've heard in the past, but somebody who's never quite been able to, let's say, turn the corner, where in a couple of tournaments done well, but when she was just 14, 15, Michelle Wee talked about playing against the guys, and there was this whole thing about bragging about how she could hang with the guys. Well, she finally got yet another victory, but it's her second career win, do you believe it, at the Canadian Open. Remember, she was a young pup, and she was out there playing with the guys. So she was 12-under for the tournament. She wins $337,000 and some change. She closes 2-under 70 for that three-shot win. She had five birdies on the 13th, 14th, and 15th holes. That's what the crowds like to see. And, you know, this was what she wanted to do. She said she made some critical putts, and that was probably the big difference. And, you know, that's when it came down to the stretch. That's what she needed to do. So it was her first career win that came in November at the Lorena Ochoa Invitational. It was her during her rookie season. And so this was good for her to get back to this. Now she goes back to school at Stanford and then goes on to whatever the next event is after that. I want to say it's somewhere in Arkansas or somewhere. But regardless, she comes up with her second win. Here's what we said after the tourney.
All week this week, you know, I felt very comfortable. I felt very confident. And, you know, it's definitely given me a lot more confidence for the rest of the season and to try and go out there and do better.
Yeah, try to go out there and do better. That's what anybody says, like I said, when they struggle and lose. Matt Kuchar claimed his first win of the year. He was a guy who, and Tiger Woods, by the way, finished for 12 because a lot of eyes were him. But Kuchar was in Paramus, New Jersey at the Barclays, the PGA stop. And he stopped practicing for a playoff, walked over to the 18th green to watch a bunch of other spectators that were getting ready to congratulate Martin Laird on a win, but then it didn't happen for him. So then it was Kuchar. His golf ball ended up doing the work for him as he now came out of the gate and shot well when he had to, finishes in the playoff with the lead, and Laird ends up second because of that. And as I said, Tiger Woods ended up finishing the tournament respectably, but 12th in the end and finishes at 7-under. All right, when it comes to Little League World Series, there was a lot of celebrating for Japan. Here's Brett Musburger with the call in that final, Japan and Hawaii.
And the boys from Tokyo are the boys of this Little League World Championship. Unbeaten.
All right, I mentioned this before. In South Williamsport, Pennsylvania, that's where they hold the Little League World Series, rather. You heard the final call. So Hawaii loses for 5 years. The United States had won the Little League World Series. That's gotten bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, the crowds just swelled to watch this. But Japan played great, so you just have to tip your cap and wait till next season. Speaking of tipping the cap, this would be big news in sports shorts for all of you who are baseball fans. How about this? Manny may go to the Chi Sox on Monday. There was a lot of conversation about this in baseball. This was probably the biggest buzz besides the individual games, but Ramirez, the era of Manny ball in L.A. is probably all but over. It's just the official deal, the crossing the I's and the T's, but it's supposed to happen. The Chicago White Sox, they want the punch that Manny packs, and they're saying that the White Sox may be awarded Ramirez through their waiver claim. How about that? So they'd be responsible for $4 million and change that he's supposed to get in 2010, and then $1 million for the rest of the year. Imagine that, finishing out and getting that kind of money. And if you look at the White Sox, I think it'd be pretty motivating to have him picked up on the team, at least as they go down to the stretch here. So that would be huge for the Chi Sox anyway. All right, you move along to Brett Favre. He's like a slice of Americana, isn't he? I just saw one of his commercials today, and it was clever. They really play off of his personality well. The people in Minnesota don't care about his personality. They care if he's going to win or not. This is just preseason nonsense, but it's kind of a lot of fun when he, you know, when you get your superstar out there, even if it's just for a couple of plays. Here's what Favre had to say.
I'm never going to turn down playing. I think it's as tired as I was, I really felt like I needed some more work. And we'll lobby for that again this week.
All right, you got to love that. He's going to lobby for it. He is definitely, first and foremost, a football player and wants to play. There's no question about that. You know, I can take or leave preseason. I'm not a big fan. But it has to be motivating for people to know that he's back and he's going to play another year. And if he stays healthy, Minnesota could have a real shot at this. They knocked off Seattle in their last game 24-13, and Brett Favre was 16-26 for 187 yards. Matt, the big conversation, though, was really in the NFL going to an 18-game season. I don't mind the 18-game season if they lop off some preseason games, but, boy, injuries could really take their toll if they don't do that.
Yeah, and also with that, because I was talking about this with a couple of buddies of mine this weekend, and we were talking about how at the end, mainly for fantasy football purposes, but at the end of the year, how teams are already resting their players for the last two games of the year anyways. If you add two more games onto that, then it's just, I don't know, the division races won't be as tight, and you could have guys sitting out for maybe 2-3 weeks.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, I think there's almost 95%, no matter what we say, or no matter where you fall on this, 95% chance that you're probably going to be dealing with an 18-game season. From the point of view of the owners, you know, Mo football is good as long as you don't have someone collapse down the stretch, because you see, and you know, coaches never want to use that because everybody has to deal with the injuries. They never want to talk about the injuries and make that the reason why they lost. But the thing is, the truth of it is, if you get down to the stretch and you need your offensive line to be healthy, you need the quarterback to be healthy, you don't need the guy that's there with the clipboard, even if they've got a great arm. You need the first teamers there. There's no question. Absolutely not. Gets me excited, though, to see what's going to happen in the regular season. No doubt. I think it'll be a good season. And of course, we're going to have all of it for you here on America Tonight, because we've got Nail the Score. I can't say enough about Nail the Score. Oh. All right, I got to leave you with this one, folks. Are you ready for it? What did the chicken say when he crossed the road to the lizard? I was waiting for you on the other side.